July 3rd, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. I will be broadcasting live tomorrow, July 4th. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Another site that I wish to call your attention to is SpingolaSpeaks.info. One of our very skilled and kind listeners created this wonderful site for which I am very grateful. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. My scheduled guest today was unable to be on the program. A few people have asked me why I rarely mention my two books. I feel rather uncomfortable using my position on RBN to promote my own work. However, I am currently completing my third book in my trilogy. The name of this third book is The Ruling Elite: Death, Destruction, and Domination. Given the substantial evidence of government participation and the use of psychological warfare at Columbine, Sandy Hook, Aurora, Boston, and several other relatively recent operations, I thought that I would share an even earlier SATO event in which governments, the allies of World War II, participated in creating false and deceptive circumstances stances in order to promote political, economic, and cultural changes. Today I'm going to share some information, a chapter, with you from my third book called Publicizing the German Camps. Now, this is not edited yet, so hopefully it'll be smooth and there won't be too many errors. And this is, as I say, from my upcoming book. This will be a good segue for our guest tomorrow and Friday because they have similar topics, and I think that it will all pretty well mesh together. Alrighty, this is Publicizing the German Camps. On March 21st, 1933, Munich Police Chief Heinrich Himmler, in a press release, said, and I quote, "On Wednesday, the first concentration camp is to be opened in Dachau with an accommodation for 5,000 persons, all communist and, where necessary, Reichsbanner and social democratic functionaries who endanger state security are to be concentrated here. As in the long run, it is not possible to keep individual functionaries in the state prisons without overburdening these prisons, and, on the other hand, these people cannot be released because attempts have shown that they persist in their efforts to agitate and organize as soon as they are released." Unquote. On April 4th, 1933, the New York Times announced that the Nazis were going to use the abandoned Dachau munitions works about a half hour from Munich as a concentration camp for political prisoners such as communists. Inmates at Dachau worked in various jobs and received camp money unusable outside of the camp. Two-thirds of the inmates were political prisoners and nearly one-third were Jewish. There were German and non-German criminals ranging from the lowest to the highest social strata. At Buchenwald, another camp, there were depraved habitual criminals like Frenchmen. Leon, oh, we're going to a break. Be right back in 3 minutes.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and as I mentioned, I do not have a guest today, so you are getting a history lesson, and one that will give some sort of comparison to some of the events that have happened in our country in the last few years. Okay, at Buchenwald, another camp, there were depraved habitual criminals like Frenchman Leon Blum, B-L-U-M, and Julian Kane, and Czechs like Clement Gottwald and Richard Blank. The German inmates included Werner Hilpert and Eugene Kogan. K-O-G-O-N. Italian Princess Mafalda of European royalty was at Buchenwald. One controversial group, the anti-Nazi Germans, stayed in Germany but remained out of the camps and made numerous post-war claims. In 1933, James G. McDonald, president of the American Foreign Policy Association, the first U.S. ambassador to Israel, visited Dachau and published an atrocity story in the New York Times. No surprise there. Dated September 11th, 1933. On July 23rd, 1948, President Harry S. Truman would appoint him as the special representative to Israel, an appointment that Secretary of Defense James Forrestal opposed. The real atrocity at Dachau occurred towards the end of the war. Allied bombing caused widespread famine, during which about 25,613 prisoners perished, with another 10,000 dying in the subcamps, typically from disease, malnutrition, and suicide. There was also a typhus epidemic at Dachau in early 1945, which left the emaciated survivors looking like walking cadavers. The German government established camps near factories or industry. Essentially, these functioned as as labor camps for German corporations. They built roads, worked in gravel pits, and later in armaments production. On May 20, 1940, the Germans founded a camp at the site of a compound of a two-story, well-built brick barracks in Auschwitz, a town founded by Germans in 1270. In 1939, the town had a population of about 12,000 and was the site of one of Europe's largest railroad hubs. Austrians had built the barracks in 1916, later used by the Polish army. During 1942, British intelligence located at Bletchley Park, using the Enigma codebreaker, deciphered all of the messages from the German labor camps. With this ability, the British learned about the German submarine positions and other vital information. In the mid-1990s, British intelligence analyst F.H. Hensley disclosed the, and I quote, most authentic information, unquote, about daily camp life concealed for 50 years. And I quote, the return from Auschwitz, the largest of the camps with 20,000 prisoners, mentioned illness as the main cause of death, but included references to shootings and hangings. There were no references in the decrypts to gassings, unquote. There was no evidence of any so-called final solution. Germany did not use gas to maim or kill during the war because of its adherence to the Geneva Conventions. On the other hand, Winston Churchill was anxious to use modern technology. On February 19, 1920, before the Arab uprising, he wrote to Sir Hugh Trenchard, suggesting, and I quote, some kind of asphyxiating bombs, unquote, to seize control of Iraq. Perhaps gas bombs that would just cause disablement against, and I quote, turbulent tribes, unquote. He failed to understand, and I quote, the squeamishness about the use of gas, unquote. He said, and I quote, I am strongly in favor of using poison gas against uncivilized tribes, unquote. He retained his opinions, saying that the prejudices of, and I quote, those who do not think clearly, unquote, should not prevent the scientific use of gas. The British used gas against the Iraqi rebels in 1920. The bomb disposal unit was the first group to enter any of the German camps in order to determine safety. The members of this group made a systematic film record of everything they saw. They also looked for traps and then marked the doors and blew a whistle if things were safe. The photographs that they took did not show any gas ovens. Kim Philby dismissed the story of the death and incineration of 6 million people. He knew that the archives in Moscow housed all of the German documents describing the so-called final solution, which was to send the Zionist Jews to Madagascar. Meanwhile, at least 150,000 Jews fought with the German army. Richard Lynn, professor emeritus of the University of Ulster, points out that Eisenhower wrote a 559-page book, Crusade in Europe. Churchill wrote a 6-volume set, The Second World War, for a total of 4,448 pages. De Gaulle wrote the 2,054-page 3-volume Memoirs de Guerre. In all of this, published from 1948 to 1959, there is not one mention of any gas chamber or the suicide of 6 million. In 2012, a top-notch researcher who has since passed away visited Britain's public record office and was able to see the top-secret wartime documents, which had the words, most secret, never to be removed from the office, red inked across the top. These were the records from the leader of MI6 to Prime Minister Winston Churchill regarding Auschwitz. And this is of course, propaganda. Purportedly, Mengele's selection process began on July 17, 1942, followed by the, and I quote, mass gassings, unquote, at Auschwitz. In August 1942, a deadly typhus epidemic carried by lice erupted in all of the camps. There are three possibilities of how typhus entered the camps. Number one, the Polish resistance movement might have introduced it to the German military. Number 2, civilians entering the camp, or number 3, newly deported inmates into the German camps. During the American Civil War, 2 men died from disease for every battle-related death. Up through World War II, more soldiers died of disease than combat. In 1915, during World War I, German and Austrian officials determined that regular bathing and the steam disinfection of their clothing would minimize the occurrence of typhus among the soldiers, which could have also spread to the civilian population. Later, the louse infestation among the troops on the Western Front created outbreaks of the louse-borne rickettsial disease, trench fever. However, they were free of typhus, probably due to the low exposure to typhus. During the record cold winter of 1917-18, and a quote, barracks and tents were overcrowded and inadequately heated, and it was impossible to supply the men with sufficient warm clothing. And that, they're talking about American troops here. And, of course, we know about the horrible flu epidemic of 1918, which was kind of a deliberate thing, I think. Okay, back to the book. Germany had 2 classifications of prisoners. Jews they had identified as enemy aliens, and civilians deported from various countries, people they deemed dangerous to the state or to occupation forces. According to numerous accounts, including those of Paul Rassenyer, the communists, the first criminals that the Germans incarcerated, ultimately controlled the inmates, especially at Buchenwald. Rassenyer, a former inmate of Buchenwald and Dora, and the author of Crossing the Line, said that the Germans concentrated the enemies of Hitler's National Socialist State in camps as, and I quote, a gesture of compassion, unquote, where they could do no damage to the new regime and where, and I quote, they could be protected from the public anger, unquote. According to Rassenyer, camp policy protected the antisocial elements and helped to rehabilitate them and bring them back to a healthier concept of the German community where they could be more productive. In all probability, Stalinist agents operated within every single German camp. Regarding the communists and their influence and propaganda, Dr. Joachim Hoffman, in his book, provides a copy of a newspaper page dated December 22, 1944, showing that Soviet Ilya Ehrenberg, and he was in charge of propaganda, announced in the Soviet War News that the Germans had killed 6 million Jews. Yet the Soviets would not liberate Auschwitz until January 27, 1945, almost a month later. Ehrenberg stated, and I quote, in regions they seized, the Germans killed all the Jews, from the old folk to infants in arms. Ask any German prisoner of war why their compatriots annihilated 6 million innocent people, and he will simply answer, well, they were Jews, unquote. He reiterated the claim on January 4, 1945, in the same Soviet newspaper, then again on March 15, 1945, that being that the Germans had killed 6 million Jews. Colonel Donald B. Robinson, the chief historian of the U.S. military government in Germany, wrote an article, Communist Atrocities at Buchenwald, in the October 1946 issue of American Mercury. On April 11, 1945, U.S. troops liberated Buchenwald, soon turning it over to the Soviets, who converted it into a camp to house their enemies. Okay, we are going to break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Oh, okay, maybe we've got a few seconds. All righty, but as I mentioned earlier, this is a selection from my currently being edited book, and it's called Publicizing the German Camps. Be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and you're getting a history lesson today from a chapter in my third book. It's called Publicizing the German Camps, and I was talking about Colonel Donald B. Robinson. And we will take calls later on after I open the phone lines. Colonel Donald B. Robinson was the chief historian of U.S. military government, and he wrote the article Communist Atrocities at Buchenwald. And Robinson noted some interesting details in an army report at General Eisenhower's Supreme Headquarters. Apparently, about 300 communists through the labor office seized and controlled the camp's self-government and then dominated the 60,000 inmates until the war's end, determining those they would allow to either eat or starve to death. Robinson said that the official report emphatically stated, and I quote, "The communist trustees were directly responsible for a large part of the brutalities committed at Buchenwald," unquote. Robinson said that, in addition to the labor office, which dispensed work assignments and sent inmates to hard labor camps, the German communists controlled the camp hospital, where 100% of the staff was German communist. The hospital staff catered to German communists and reserved the scarce drugs for communist patients. German Prince Philip Hess married Italian Princess Mafalda, giving him the opportunity to act as a liaison between the German government and the Italian government. In 1943, Prince Philip fell out of favor with the German government and ended up in Buchenwald. On September 20, 1943, camp leaders placed Princess Mafalda in the camp brothel under a false name. The camp authorities at Buchenwald gave each prisoner a certain number of marks each week to buy cigarettes or other items at the camp canteen, to visit the camp brothel, or to credit to a savings account. Apparently, other camps also issued camp currency. The Allies bombed the large munitions factory close to Buchenwald, killing about 80 guards and wounding 300 others. The Allied bombing also killed approximately 400 prisoners and wounded about 1,450, along with 600 seriously injured, including Princess Mafalda. The camp hospital could not give her adequate care. She died on August 27, 1944, because of those injuries. Certainly, the United States did not intend to bomb a prison camp and, of course, did not take pictures of the charred bodies, but rather concealed the tragedy. On June 18, 1944, Jacob Rosenheim of the Agudas Israel World Organization in New York sent a letter to Henry Morgenthau, Jr., the Treasury Secretary, asking that the United States bomb the rail lines going into Auschwitz, which the Germans were allegedly using for the deportation of Jews from Hungary to the gas chambers of Poland. On August 9, 1944, A. Leon Kubowski, or Kubowitzki, head of the Rescue Department of the World Jewish Congress in New York, wrote to the War Department requesting that America bomb the crematoria at Auschwitz. This is an odd request, given that it would certainly have killed many prisoners. John J. McCloy, Assistant Secretary of War, responded, and I quote, "Such an operation could be executed only by the diversion of considerable air support essential to the success of our forces now engaged in decisive operations elsewhere," unquote. On November 18, 1944, McCloy wrote a letter to John W. Pehle, P-E-H-L-E, the director of the War Refugee Board. This was in response to Pehle's request of November 8th that the War Department could not authorize the bombing of Auschwitz, a task that would require precision bombing in order to halt the reported extermination of the Jews through gassing. Two eyewitnesses provided the story of the gassings in the German camps of Auschwitz and Birkenau in late November because of the imminent arrival of the Soviet army. The Germans purportedly ordered the destruction of, and I quote, "the killing machinery at Auschwitz." The Americans repeatedly declined to the request to bomb Auschwitz, and this is what the Jews say, that it was an example of, and I quote, "a deaf ear being turned to the Jews," unquote. Neufeld and Barenboim claimed that it was evidence of insensitivity and prejudice. The authors state that there were people in the State Department who, and I quote, "were unwilling to prioritize Jewish concerns," unquote. I think any bombing of any prison camp would definitely create a lot of dead prisoners. So I don't know what that was all about. Back to the chapter. General Dwight D. Eisenhower, Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces in Europe, heard reports regarding the Buchenwald inmates and stories about the stolen treasures in Thuringen. He left his headquarters at Reims on April 11, 1945, to see General Courtney H. Hodges of the 1st Army in Wiesbaden. The next day, Eisenhower, with Generals George S. Patton and Omar Bradley, briefly visited the underground salt mine at Merkers Kieselbach, Thuringen, where the German government had stashed a huge amount of gold, foreign currency, and art treasures. While in the vicinity, his group toured Ordruf Nord, a small camp near Gotha, established in November 1944, part of the Buchenwald concentration camp network. On the evening of April 13, 1944, or 45, Generals Eisenhower, Bradley, and Patton discussed the Ordruf Nord, Buchenwald, and Nordhausen Dora with General Hodges. Eisenhower said, and I quote, time for a break. We will be right back with that Eisenhower quote.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and I'm giving you a history lesson today in a chapter from my current book, or the book that will be coming out. It is called Publicizing the German Camps, and Eisenhower. Now, keep in mind that Buchenwald was being controlled by the communists. Eisenhower said, and I quote, "The only speck of optimism I can see is that I really don't think that the bulk of the Germans knew what was going on," unquote. Patton reported that the mayor of Gotha and his wife committed suicide after seeing the horrors of Ohrdruf Nord, and that was a camp that was adjacent to Buchenwald, one of the satellite camps. At the close of World War II, Americans were justifiably outraged and horrified by film footage of the emaciated survivors, the dead and the dying at Buchenwald, one of the German concentration camps that the 3rd U.S. Army liberated. This liberation occurred on April 11, 1945. Hermann Pister, P-I-S-T-E-R, was the German commander of the camp from 1942 to 1945, which was near Weimar, Thuringia, Germany. Troops from the U.S. 80th Infantry Division arrived on April 12, 1945. The 4th Armored Division liberated this camp, the first one, on April 4, 1945. On April 15th, Eisenhower notified General George C. Marshall, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Eisenhower wrote, and I quote, "But the most interesting, although horrible sight that I have encountered during the trip was a visit to a German internment camp near Gotha. the visual evidence and the verbal testimony of starvation, cruelty, and bestiality were so overpowering as to leave me a bit sick. I made the visit deliberately in order to be in a position to give firsthand evidence of these things if ever in the future there develops a tendency to charge these allegations merely to propaganda, unquote. Oh, well, we can't have that now, can we? On April 18, 1945, the New York Times reported that 4 million people died at Auschwitz. Arthur Hayes Sulzberger, son-in-law of Adolf Oakes, a Pilgrim Society member, was editor of the New York Times. Apparently, the Times used the same sources as the Soviets. According to a Soviet announcement on May 7, 1945, 4 million of the reported 6 million, and I quote, died in the gas chambers at Auschwitz, unquote. Rudolf Höss, the former Auschwitz commander, admitted that they had deliberately exterminated 4 million Jews at Auschwitz. The Allies had arrested him on March 11, 1945, 46, and after 3 days of brutal torture, he finally confessed. British military intelligence sergeant Bernard Clark, a Jew, and 4 other British soldiers extracted that confession. His testimony provided the foundation for the theory that the Germans systematically exterminated the Jews, especially in gas chambers. The New York Times and the Times of London promote the Pilgrim's philosophy. For generations, the members of the Oak, Sulzberger, and Dreyfus families have managed the New York Times and have been Pilgrim members. On April 18, 1945, Eisenhower met Prime Minister Churchill in London, where they discussed the war and the camps. Eisenhower assured Churchill that he would send photos of the camp. He persuaded Churchill to send members of Parliament and journalists to immediately tour the camps. Eisenhower was concerned that an American delegation would, and I quote, be too late to see the full horrors, whereas an English delegation, being so much closer, could get there on time, unquote. A delegation composed of 10 individuals left London within 24 hours after hearing about the camps. They arrived at Eisenhower's chief headquarters in Reims the evening of April 20, 1945. The following morning, the company boarded military planes and flew into Weimar and arrived at Buchenwald at 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 21st, 10 days after the camp's liberation. The delegation compiled a report which His Majesty's Stationery Office published in May 1945. That report stated, and I quote, that a policy of steady starvation and inhuman brutality was carried out at Buchenwald for a long period of time, and that such camps as this marked the lowest point of degradation to which humanity has yet descended. The memory of what we saw and heard at Buchenwald will haunt us ineffaceably for many years, unquote. Now, keep in mind, it was the communists that were running the camp and deciding who was going to eat and who wasn't. Meanwhile, on April 19th, Eisenhower had cabled General Marshall. The telegram read, and I quote, "We continue to uncover German concentration camps for political prisoners in which conditions of indescribable horror prevail. I have visited one of these myself, and I assure you that whatever has been printed on them to date has been an understatement. If you would see any advantage in asking about a dozen leaders of Congress and a dozen prominent editors to make a short visit to this theater in a couple of C-54s, I will arrange to have them conducted to one of these places where the evidence of bestiality and cruelty is so overpowering as to leave no doubt in their minds about the normal practices of the Germans in these camps," unquote. They delivered Eisenhower's telegram to the Speaker of the House and to the Majority Leader of the Senate the next day. A delegation of 12 congressmen was organized and ready to leave on Sunday, April 22, 1945. After arriving in Paris on April 23rd, the delegation left for Weimar the following morning. Another unofficial delegation arrived within a short period of time. A large group of photographers accompanied it. The committee toured Dachau on May 2nd, 48 hours after its capture. A committee compiled a 16-page report describing what they had seen and expressed their convictions that, and I quote, "men of all nations and tongues must resist encroachments of every theory and every ideology that debases mankind," unquote. 18 American newspaper publishers and editors arrived in Buchenwald on April 25, 1945, and soon met with Eisenhower, who reportedly said, and I quote, he hoped every American newspaper would print the story of German bestiality in detail, unquote. Julius Oakes, Adler of the New York Times, Malcolm W. Bingay of the Detroit Free Press, and Stanley Hive, the Rotarian, all prominent journalists, asked to have a telegram sent to Secretary of War Henry L. Stimson, which read, and I quote, it is the unanimous judgment of the delegation of magazine and newspaper editors sent here to investigate conditions of German prison camps that the reports of atrocities committed upon war prisoners, political prisoners, and civilians have not been exaggerated, unquote. Labor leaders, clergymen, and other prominent personalities came for a tour. Eisenhower invited a group from the United Nations War Crimes Commission who toured Buchenwald on April 26th and 27th. A 13-member commission chaired by Lord Robert Alderson Wright, a judge from Britain, with representatives from 12 different nations, also arrived in Germany to witness the horrific evidence of man's inhumanity to man. The American and British media converged on Buchenwald with their photographers and film crews. Reporters and well-known war correspondents inspected the barracks and spoke with the inmates. Members of the U.S. Congress and British Parliament toured the camp, accompanied by another group of prominent media representatives, including Edward R. Murrow of the Columbia Broadcasting System, CBS. Clerics also visited the camp. For the next 3 weeks, the media focused on Buchenwald. Murrow gave a report from the camp on the CBS radio network. He described the liberated camp and concluded by saying, and I quote, I pray you to believe what I have said about Buchenwald. I reported what I saw and heard, but only part of it. For most of it, I have no words, unquote. With the Allied advance, the Germans began evacuating the camps in the summer of 1944. Consequently, many of the camps became overcrowded, which affected the hygienic conditions, while food supplies drastically dwindled. In November, a typhus epidemic erupted that killed thousands. In the last 3 months before Germany surrendered, the Allied bombing had destroyed Germany's transportation system. Both the civilian population and the German military suffered for lack of food. Obviously, the inmates in the labor camps also suffered. On April 28th, Victor Maurer of the International Red Cross negotiated an agreement to surrender the camp to U.S. troops. On April 29th, 1945, U.S. Army troops officially liberated the Dachau concentration camp. When America assumed jurisdiction over Dachau without any investigation or a formal trial, they summarily executed at least 560 guards who had surrendered. The United States did not liberate the 32,000 prisoners immediately. While the Americans controlled Dachau, 300 internees died of starvation each day, more than when the Germans controlled it. The Congressional Committee toured Dachau on May 2nd. The Allies used the Psychological Warfare Division, PWD, of Schaeff to publicize the German atrocities among the German population. The British Office of War Information published 50,000 copies of an illustrated booklet to distribute among the citizens and among the German soldiers in Allied prisoner of war camps who claimed to have no knowledge of the camps. Richard H.S. Crossman, editor of The God That Failed in 1950 and the editor of The New Statesman, was the assistant chief of PWD, for which officials later awarded him the Order of the British Empire. He produced anti-Nazi propaganda broadcasts for a network, Radio of the European Revolution, set up by the Special Operations Executive. Eisenhower was instrumental in organizing a massive media campaign at Buchenwald. General Marshall, President Harry S. Truman, and Prime Minister Winston Churchill made the horrors of Buchenwald representative of the other German camps, the target of a huge media blitz. General Archibald Wavell reportedly said in a 1940 memo to his chiefs of staff, and I quote, the elementary principle of all deception is to attract the enemy's attention to what you wish him to see and to distract his attention from what you do not wish him to see, unquote. This certainly proved applicable in that the media totally ignored Eisenhower's 200 death camps in which he imprisoned German civilians, soldiers, and everybody else that he could lay his hands on. About the same time that Eisenhower was focusing on the German camps, on April 17, 1945, the Germans captured Corporal Helmut Liebich near Gotha in central Germany and placed him in the Gotha DEF enclosure at Rheinberg. On his first day, there was a tiny ration of food. To get their food, the prisoners had to run a gauntlet between two lines of guards who beat them with sticks as they hurried to get food. On April 27th, they transferred Liebich and others to Camp B at the U.S. camp at Heidersheim, where there was no food for several days. There were over 5,000 starving, weak prisoners who were exposed to the weather. All were in the process of dying. For shelter, many dug earth holes in the soft, sandy dirt. It rained hard one night, and the earth shelters collapsed on men who were powerless to escape from their unexpected entombment. Others tried to dig the victims out, but many suffocated before they could rescue them. Liebich, overwhelmed, wept. He said, and I quote, "I could hardly believe men could be so cruel to each other," unquote. It was possible that lice became infected feeding on vaccinated individuals. The possibility exists that typhus spread as a result of vaccines. Vaccinated American soldiers were exposed to a huge number of louse-infested victims in numerous areas, including Germany. From December 1943 to May 1946, the U.S. military authority enacted new preventative measures against three epidemics of typhus fever among the war-weary civilian populations. One of those epidemics was in Germany in the prison camps among the inmates who had relocated during that period from March to June 1945 and thus spread the infection. Now, did you understand that? That it may have been vaccinated individuals from America who actually helped to spread the infection. Okay, in early May 1945, the dreaded disease typhus appeared at Heidersheim. On May 13th, they moved Liebich, the individual I mentioned earlier, to the U.S. death camp, DEF camp at Bingen-Bucheim, where there were between 200,000 and 400,000 prisoners with no shelter, no food, no water, no medicine, or adequate room. Liebich, delirious with typhus, also developed dysentery. The U.S. military placed him semi-conscious in an open-air rail car and moved him with approximately 60 other prisoners. After a three-day journey, the prisoners arrived at the U.S. camp at Rheinberg, another enclosure that had no food or shelter. When they arrived, when they finally received a smidgen of food, it was putrid. Prisoners told the new arrivals that for 15 days there was no food at all. The Rheinberg camp death rate was about 30% a year. When the Americans relinquished control of the camp at Rheinberg in June, Liebich, along with other emaciated dying men, were moved to a hospital at Lintfort. Excuse me. At that point, he weighed, less than 100 pounds. He was 5 feet 10 inches tall. According to former prisoners, before the Americans turned the camp over to the British in mid-June, they bulldozed a part of the camp and buried prisoners who were still alive in their earth holes. Of course, the media never mentioned these atrocities. If not for James Bach's documented research, the conditions at Rheinberg would have remained concealed. The patients at Lindfort received sufficient food, but for many, they were too close to death to benefit from the nourishment. Liebich lived to disclose his experiences. Thousands did not. The British Ministry of Information and the American Office of War Information worked with the creative editing talents of Alfred Hitchcock, a film director and producer, to create a Holocaust documentary under the direction of British producer Sidney Bernstein. Hitchcock requested the film footage that the cinematographers who had accompanied Allied forces took of the German labor camp Dachau, Buchenwald, Belsen, and other camps liberated by the Allies. Sefton Delmer, a propagandist with the Political Warfare Executive, that's PWE, the British clandestine body, created to produce and disseminate both white and black propaganda, filmed many of the scenes. They did not release the Hitchcock film, but sequestered it in a vault of the London Imperial War Museum. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's Theravim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm reading from a chapter in my upcoming book. It's called Publicizing the German Camps. Alrighty, regarding the Alfred Hitchcock film. They did not release the Hitchcock film, but sequestered it in a vault of the London Imperial War Museum. In 1985, PBS Frontline would find the 53-minute film of the liberation of Belsen and distribute it as the memory of the camps. Alfred Hitchcock said, And I quote, "At the end of the war, I made a film to show the reality of the concentration camps, you know. Horrible. It was more horrible than any fantasy horror. Then nobody wanted to see it. It was too unbearable. But it has stayed in my mind all these years," unquote. Trevor Howard narrated the film. He said, and I quote, "We tore a number of camps, including Buchenwald and Dachau, just as those in charge there scrambled to hide away the mass human slaughter that they had accomplished. 11 million people, including 6 million Jews, mounds of corpses, limbs twisted every which way, were bulldozed into mass graves. These camp officials and their subordinates weren't quick enough. We see, or imagine we see, everything," unquote. Sefton Delmer alleged that workers brought dozens of bodies of dead Germans, victims of Allied bombings, from Dresden and other areas to use in their official films in order to incriminate the Germans. Abram Gaimes and Delmer confirmed that the bodies were not dead Jews. Edith Head, a costume expert, Ben Hecht, a screenwriter, Bernard Herrmann, a Hitchcock collaborator and composer, Lou Wasserman, and David O. Selznick assisted Hitchcock with his official filmmaking efforts for the government. Gaimes substantiated that Hitchcock was highly gifted and had a natural propensity for horror and suspense. Later, in Hollywood, Selznick rewarded Hitchcock with a very profitable film, with very profitable film contracts and opportunities, typically on Jewish projects. Phil Scher and Harry Edding of the Jewish Underground operated the black market to sell materials to Americans, the only people who still had money. Lou Wasserman and Selznick directed a group of people who devised the special effects, like the shrunken heads and the human skin, which was actually goat skin, allegedly used for wallets, gloves, and lampshades. They obtained the heads from the from a museum. Moish Solomons admitted, and I quote, "The Holocaust is Hollywood at its absolute best." Let me repeat that. And I quote, "The Holocaust is Hollywood at its absolute best," unquote. Excuse me. Justice Robert H. Jackson, the lead U.S. prosecutor, facilitated the organization of the trial, talking about the Nuremberg trial. To prepare for a victory, Jackson decided to use film and photo evidence to convict the National Socialist and needed to find and edit the incriminating evidence. Okay, we're getting ready to go to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will hear a word from our sponsors, and then we will be back, and I am reading from a chapter in an upcoming book entitled Publicizing the German Camps. Be right back.